Welcome to the Hustle Sanely podcast, a show inviting you to live a peacefully productive life. I'm your host, Jess Massey, a peaceful productivity coach and planner creator. My mission is to share mindset shifts and peaceful productivity tips that help people with really full lives go from running on fumes to living with intention in every season. You're in the right place if you want to design a life that reflects your actual priorities so you can stop the constant hustle and pursue your goals while prioritizing your well-being. Now, take a deep breath and let's learn how to hustle sanely. Hey, hi, hello, Hustle Sanely Squad. Welcome back to the show. Happy 4th Tuesday of the month. If y'all have been around for any amount of time, you know that the 4th Tuesday of the month, I am not alone. I bring somebody on with me. I'm like building it up like it's going to be a surprise, like in my head, but you literally can read the title of the episode and know who is on with me. We have my wonderful, amazing, fabulous husband, Adam, on with us today. What is the date that this episode is airing? Do you know? You don't know.
I don't have any
idea.
You
have no idea. Well, it's definitely later April. So we have officially been married for over 10 years when this goes out. That's crazy.
Our 10 whole years.
Our 10-year wedding anniversary is, it's so weird because it's like in the future when we're recording it, but it's like in the past when they're listening to this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's how time travel works.
Yeah, it's super weird. Our anniversary is April 18th, 2014. So we just hit 10 years. Wild and crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So crazy. Okay. So I was going to do like a whole episode because if you guys didn't know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. If you didn't know, I am an anxious girly. I have generalized anxiety disorder and I am married to a cool cucumber. So I was going to do like a whole episode about mental health and somebody who like struggles with mental health being married to somebody who doesn't, like from both perspectives. But then I was like, you know, we haven't done our yearly Q&A. So I want to do our yearly Q&A. If you don't know, we do like a yearly Q&A where Adam comes on and we answer any question that you ask us on Instagram, which that's what we're going to do today. And we also do an episode at the end-ish of the year, where it's usually the last episode of the year, where we come on and we do like a version of our yearly vision meeting together. So if you guys want a third episode, I did not ask Adam this. I am just signing him up. But if you guys want a third episode this year where we just specifically talk about mental health and marriage, let me know. And we can make that happen, but we're not doing that today because I didn't want to not do our yearly Q&A because I feel like we always do that around April time because it's our anniversary. So anyway, hey, babe, say hi.
Hi. Full disclosure, I did think that I was coming on to talk about mental health today. I didn't know we were doing a Q&A. I thought they were asking questions about mental health.
I didn't tell you that I changed it.
No, you just like, you're like, they have questions. And I was like, okay.
Oh, boy. Well, surprise. It'll be fun. But I haven't read any of the questions either.
Yeah. So these will be real answers.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll never know because we could edit out whatever we want, but I'm telling you they're real answers.
Yeah, they're real. They're real. Also, we had somebody say that Adam, he needs to speak up. So he's going to do his very best. I am just a lot louder than Adam. So that's why in your ears, I sound a lot louder than Adam because that's how it is in real life. You're getting the full real experience.
It's mostly true.
Yeah. No, it's definitely true. Okay. So we got quite a few questions. There's like 50 questions here. We don't have time to answer 50 questions, unfortunately. So we're just going to get through as many as we can get through in like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah. Because our wonderful babysitter is going to have to leave
in 40 minutes.
Shortly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Amazing. Okay. So I'll stop talking and start asking the questions. Okay. Oh, this is okay. First question. This is the first one my eyes went to. It says, do you ever feel like you've become friends versus partners? If yes, how did you overcome that?
Is that a bad thing to be friends? Wait, I'm confused.
That's why
it's bad to be friends? Or they're saying
I think, okay, because I think it's a good thing to be friends.
Yeah.
Like, I think that makes strong partners. Maybe they mean more like roommates. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, sure. To me, that's negative. Like, you become more like roommates.
Yeah, but
than
that happens
partners.
When you're just disconnected. But that comes in waves, at least for us. That's not a, like, we go through phases of feeling like we're just kind of
out of touch.
Yeah. But that's, it's not a, it's never been a permanent thing.
Yeah.
And it's mostly handled by either some sort of set aside, you know, quality time or date night or some kind of intimacy, something that like, you know, gets us reconnected back on a more partner level.
Yeah, which I feel like this is something we used to struggle with more than we do now, because I feel like now we have like better routines in place to make sure that we're being consistent with like spending quality time together, having dates out of the house. Definitely. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a priority. But I also would say it's I think it's important for us to be friends and want to do stuff like.
Yeah.
Together, just because we like spending time with each other. Not
100%.
The same as I would with my friends. Does that make
sense? No, totally. Like, it's so cheesy, but it's like, oh, you're my best friend. But like, really, I do feel like you're my best friend. And like, I hope Carson isn't listening.
Well, but that also doesn't mean like, you obviously are going to talk to and have different conversations with Carson than you will with me. Yes. Just because it's a different dynamic.
Yes. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. When I do think of you as a friend and as a partner. I don't think it's bad to be
both
friends. Yeah. So I'm thinking this person meant roommates friends, but I don't
just,
know. I'm not
just like an actual like friend. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Acquaintances,
like,
maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. We are friends and we are partners and we like being friends and partners. And if we've ever slipped into like maybe lack of connection, lack of feeling intimacy, we address it. Like, you can't just sweep that kind of stuff under the rug. Like, you have to say something about it, or it's just going to build up.
And then it'll end up being a thing that you guys talk about when you have a fight about some stupid crap, like the trash not being out on time.
Yeah.
You know, one of those, everybody that's been in a relationship long enough knows how that goes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Wow. It's very weird that I didn't prep ahead of time. Okay. First time dad tips for postpartum time and newborn life. That's dad you tips, question, because I'm not a dad.
Like, as in dad tips, like how what
for, take however
for
you
the
want.
Dad or for to help the mom?
Maybe
or?
Both. Maybe give one of each. Give one tip for first-time dads, but it says specifically for like newborn postpartum. So like first 3 months is like considered newborn. So give one to like dad tip and one dad to like help mom tip, maybe.
Okay. I would say it to any first time parent. It's really difficult, but if somebody offers you help to, so that you can go spend some time, then you should do that. Like, you should definitely be like, if you have a family member or a friend or anybody that is offering to like give you an hour to go shower or go whatever, if you want to go
take the hour,
yeah, like do that. Yeah.
Well, because at least for me, like pre-kid, if someone's like, oh, I'll come help for an hour, I'm like, an hour, that's like
mostly,
no time.
Mostly for me,
but
it was just a nap.
Now
like
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, if somebody, I needed sleep. That was what I needed most, and for the, you know, right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And so if there was somebody willing to help, then I was going to go take a nap, and it was a game changer. It really would. It would.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to take a little time for yourself, because you're not helping anybody when you're going nuts.
Come through.
As far as supporting moms, I mean, it's different for every, you know, that's, I can't say a universal, like, yeah, do whatever they need, but just be patient. I mean, I don't know, all the dumb stuff, be patient. Cause
not dumb.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're aggravated because you're probably not sleeping, or maybe you are.
Focus on supporting instead of fixing.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that.
Right.
It's something that guys need to be reminded of. A lot of guys, not all
guys.
That's
just an all-the-time thing. Yes. That's not even a pregnancy
but
thing.
Especially in postpartum, though.
Sure.
Because I'm just like, bro, I feel crazy in my brain. Right. And, like, you trying to fix the problem is just making me mad.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, just try your best to do, like, identify where help is needed and kind of just do it. And that's also like, you're not going to ever get in trouble trying to help, you know, doing chores, like if it's chores around the house or whatever, just stuff like that.
See a need, meet a need. And if it's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Even if you don't do it right, at least
it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something moms, like new moms, have to kind of practice is like letting go of control. If they're used to things being done a certain way around the house, that's like something I struggled with, like kind of, what is it? Loosening the reins or whatever. Like mm-hmm. just being like, okay, like the dishes aren't done how I want them done, but they're done. So cool. Let's move on with our lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this question, how to encourage, I'm very interested to hear your response to this. How to encourage a husband to do more around the house without nagging? He wants to help, but he says he doesn't know what to do.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, the easiest answer would just be have a list.
Yeah.
That's
you can buy the new cleaning routine template and print it out and post it on your fridge.
You can do that. You can share a note. What we share notes on our phone, you know, if you have iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. You can make it as in-depth or not as you want. Like, you know, you can have it huge tasks, little tasks, whatever, but just have a running list and
visuals. That's like what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what kind of visual, like whatever works for you, whether it's like a schedule on Google Calendar or if you guys share a note, like he said, which we don't really do that anymore, but we used to.
Yeah, but,
like, yeah, but it's like have a visual, especially we don't really need that anymore because now we're kind of like in our routines and like, you know, we know like what each other is responsible for, putting that in air quotes, because it's like kind of a saying at our house that I just said is see a need, meet a need. Like, yeah.
But all, I think it's easier for anybody, especially somebody that's willing to help and wanting to help.
Yeah.
If they just need, just need something to do with their hands, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you just keep a list somewhere that everybody can see.
Yeah.
And then you can just start checking it off.
Yep.
And, you know, go just run down the list.
Yeah. And if, I mean, let him, like, help make the list, maybe, so he doesn't feel like.
Yeah, you guys can figure out
like,
all
whatever.
That.
Okay.
But also, if you're whoever is anybody like me, it's not always nagging. Like, I forget crap all the time, so like I can have a project even with a list that I want meant to get to and I just forgot about, and you reminding me of it, it's all about the way you remind me of it.
Yeah,
you know,
the delivery.
Obviously.
yeah
I don't think you're nagging if you're just saying, hey, where are you with this, what, you know,
like a check-in
how's this going?
Accusation.
Yeah, do we have what we need for that, blah 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 blah, rather than like, why isn't this done?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that kind of a thing,
for sure. That's good advice. Okay, these two go together. We the peeps would love a cookbook launch. Can he come out with a meal prep series?
No.
No.
Maybe.
Okay, here's the thing. In our relationship, I'm Carson and Adam, they lovingly call me a bully.
She's a big bully.
I'm a bulldozer. I prefer to be called a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm a vision person, and I get a vision, and I'm like, let's freaking go. So a couple weeks ago, Adam and I were paddleboarding, one of our out of the house dates that we do twice a month, and we brainstormed this probably about a year ago because I was like newly postpartum, and I was like, we should do like fitness videos together for busy parents, like HS5, Move for 30, his and hers workout videos. Amazing idea. We kind of like hemmed and hawed about it. And then during our paddleboard date, it came up again. And aren't you excited about the potential of it?
It's a possibility. It's not a hard no. It's not a hard no.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a possibility.
Okay. That's what we said about having kids. And now we have a kid. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff is on the radar. And I am lovingly bulldozing direction.
Here's my answer. It's not that I'm against sharing recipes. I just, the way my whole philosophy about cooking and all of that is different than what people are looking for. People want exact amounts of ingredients and they want a perfectly laid out, you know, recipe,
especially
or plan
Hustle
to follow.
Sanely Girlies.
And that's not the way I cook. That's not the way I like to cook. That's not the way I would want people to teach people how they should. Like, the way I would prefer to do it is just show you what I do and then give you a framework that you can change it however fits your diet or your preferences
whatever. That's like how my grandma is. My grandma is a wonderful cook. I am not. And I've always asked her, like, I would love for you to write down your recipes and like give that to me as a gift. Like your, not every recipe ever, but just like, you know, like the foundational recipes that she's cooked when I was growing up. And she's like, I literally cannot do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. My brain just doesn't.
We don't always use recipes. Sometimes you're just winging it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it turns out really well and sometimes it's awful.
Yeah. So the reason I brought up the fitness thing is because we talked about weaving in sharing recipes with that because it would make sense and to do together.
I've started, you know, considering what I would even want to put in a something like
e-book
that
situation
or like how I would how I would want to format it or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Adam is a slower action taker than me because he is very passionate about doing things with excellence. I like to do things with excellence too, but I consider myself a messy action taker. I like to like do things where I'm at and then fix it as I go, like make it better as I go. Adam, also Carson, more like you guys like to sit on things and like let them simmer and like just.
I like to consider all the angles before taking any action.
Yes.
And sometimes that leads to not doing anything.
Yes. There's pros and cons to both.
Because I consider it too much.
Yes. So he has me.
Trying to be too perfect, you end up not ever accomplishing stuff.
Anything.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So it's on his radar. And I think that when the shed is finished, if you've been following the shed saga, that we'll have a better idea if he's on board to do sharing like fitness and nutrition-y type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe.
Okay. Do you guys see how different we are? Okay. Is Adam a routine person too, or did he adopt it because of you?
I mean, I've always had, you know, routines like a regular person.
What does that mean?
Like I'm saying like I had habits that I would do.
Sure. Everyone has habits, whether you're a routine person or not.
Yeah. I'm saying like I would, you know, my days were structured similarly.
Sure.
Wake up, do this, work, you know, do this when I get home. You know, it wasn't as planned out, but it was just kind of like, I feel like everybody, or not everybody, but I was never just like, I don't ever know what I'm going
to
do today.
Especially when you're working a 9-to-5, it's just like.
There was structure. I've always had structure.
There you go.
And I've been disciplined because I've done sports and other things like that. Mm-hmm. Like I've always had some sort of structure to my day. But I definitely am way more, I guess.
Type B.
Planned routines now.
Yes.
Because of you, for sure. No, I'm saying like, yeah.
Oh, Adam's more type B and I'm more type A.
The only thing that I'm like strict on routine wise is my fitness, probably.
Yeah, which has not always been the case.
No.
Yeah.
But
I also bulldoze him into that.
I'm getting better at all of my routines. I would say that the one that I'm best at or most consistent with and like put the most effort into is fitness for sure.
Yeah. And how would you say, definitely since becoming a dad, I think you...
Well, I have to manage my time better, period.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say. Like, what would you say, like, to someone who's like, oh, routines, like, they put you in a box. Like, they don't allow you to, like, you know, to your fellow type B people out there, what would you say about implementing routines? How has it helped you that you didn't expect or
whatever?
Well,
it definitely makes you feel more accomplished.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't get all the things on your to-do list done. But that, I think that's more of a personality thing on how that affects you.
Yeah.
Like, I know you have a harder time.
Right. That's why we do Focus 3, ladies and gentlemen.
Open loops is a thing that you say all the time.
Yeah.
It really, really bothers you. It doesn't bother me because I know I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
I just don't have to have it done right this second.
Totally.
But it is very helpful just in laying it out, like you said, visualizing it. All those things help me anyway. Know what I have to do. And then it does help break down, you know, because if everybody's always got 500,000 things that they need to do or want to do. And so if you were able to cut those down into like, okay, Tuesdays I'm going to do this part of that. Wednesdays I'm going to do this part of that so that it's all where it's supposed to be, then it's easier to just flow into those things.
You don't have to use the brain power trying to figure out.
Right. You don't have to wake up being like, okay, I got 5,000 things to do.
You just wake up and you get to
just start
doing the
most important ones. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the hustle, sailing, planning system?
I have heard of it.
That's called batching, what you just described. Right. And I teach it in my courses and things like that. Okay.
I'm aware.
Okay. Just checking. Just making sure. Just making sure. Okay. What do you feel are some necessary conversations to have before getting married? I think values-based conversations. Because I feel like pretty much, but this has a little asterisk, pretty much everything else you can figure out, and like people can be more flexible.
Yeah.
But when it comes to values, I feel like that's a hard, concrete conversation you need to have before you get married.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I would say that that's, well.
You could disagree.
No, it's not that I disagree. I'm just trying to think of like, what do I wish that we would have talked about anything before we got married, but I don't.
Well, because we did premarital counseling and they kind of make you do that in there.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember him asking questions like, you have to think about how you grew up and like who did what chore, and like you might bring that expectation in without realizing that you're kind of putting that expectation on someone without communicating it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of stuff. Like you kind of unknowingly mimic what you see in childhood,
mm-hmm.
and the other person didn't have your childhood, so they don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would say values is you want to be on the, at least on this, in the same stratosphere for sure.
Yes.
The same with like long-term life
vision.
Yeah.
Vision and values,
goals,
baby.
Expectancy, like stuff like, you know, what in a broad sense, like is the person driven or not driven, you know, those kinds of things. Because if it's dumb stuff like money or, you know, chores, like however you want things done around the house, like all of that stuff is not, on a grand scheme, can be like, you know, there's compromise.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Stuff.
Like your values, that was the word I was looking for, compromise.
Yeah. It's just, it's going to be weird if, you know, for instance, like very stark, like, it could work, but it'd be, I feel like it'd be difficult for like an atheist to marry like a devout Christian.
Right.
Are like two.
Yeah.
You guys are just never going to see things the same
way. Like eye to eye,
likely.
Be on the same page with stuff. Yeah.
Which might be
difficult.
Or I would assume it'd be difficult. I'm not saying it's not possible. That's more of like a bigger, you know, like we're just never going
to. Vision and values. Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it. Like those big things, like your vision and your values. Like, are we at least on the same wavelength in some way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This question was asked like multiple times, but just worded differently. What is something that you wish you would have started doing sooner in marriage? That's kind of hard.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think something that I wish we would have done sooner is our yearly vision meetings.
Yeah.
Like sitting down and explicitly talking about each other's goals we want to accomplish together, separately.
I wish we would have been, I mean, we didn't know any better, but I wish I would have known more and been more intentional about our money spending.
Oh, for sure.
I wish we'd, yeah.
That's all young people probably.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the truth. We got married super young. We didn't know anything about.
Yeah. I was 24 when we got married and Adam was 25.
Yeah.
Just in case you guys are wondering. But we've been dating for 1 million years. I was 16 when we started dating, and Adam was
about to turn 18.
Yeah, like 5 days before he turned 18. Yeah. So we've been together a minute. And then where did that other question go? It kind of goes along with it.
I also wish that we would have not had a big giant wedding.
Oh. Some days I do, some days I don't.
Yeah. It was a fun time, but.
We had like 300 people at our wedding. It was a lot.
I would have rather used that money.
Other ways. Yeah. Well, can't go back.
No, I know.
I know. How do you handle arguments and disagreements?
Differently, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
I've several times I've talked about on this thing, my philosophy for like how important a problem is, and it's something that I heard from another podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a really popular podcast called the Meat Eater Podcast. Anyway, Giannis is he's one of the guys on there. He has a system where it's like, whoever brought it up, it's you know, when you're in an argument, like, what is this issue to you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah. I do remember you bringing that up.
If it's a 1, just let it go, whatever. Like, if you don't really care about it, or if it is a 9 or a 10, let your partner know, hey, this is super important to me. Yeah. And so we have to, you know, if basically that's, you know, it's just,
yeah,
scale it out.
Yeah. Pick your battles. Right. Basically what it sums up as. I feel like from a woman's perspective, most women, not all women, tend to bury things instead of talk about them if they're bothering them. And then they come up later on way bigger. So I think that's something that I've learned over the last 10 years being married, is just like talk about something when it happens.
When I've said that, I've been saying that to you. When you're mad at me, just tell me you're mad at me and we'll get through it rather than it be.
Well, sometimes it's not even that I like don't want to. English. I don't want to not talk to you about it, but it's just like in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is small. Who cares? Like, it's not even worth the energy. I'm just gonna move forward. Mm-hmm. But then like it ends up festering and like it is a bigger thing than I really, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, even if you feel like it's something tiny, just like bring it up, you know? And like, what's the harm in being like, hey, this is how I'm feeling right now. Like,
and also if it is actually tiny and it's going to be a useless argument that's never going to be productive, then just let it go.
Like, get it out. Yeah. And then be like, just want to let you know, like, this was kind of bugging me a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not really wanting to like discuss it, but I just don't want to hold it in.
Yep. It's it's the answer to all relationship issues, is you got to communicate. You got to learn how to productively argue or get into a conversation about something like that. And then you also have to, everybody's got to learn to let certain things just
go.
You got to let,
Yeah. Okay. This question, one thing you imagined happening 10 years ago and did, and one thing that didn't. Oh. For me, didn't. I thought that by now we would have gone to Paris together. And we would have if it wasn't for COVID, but I'm not salty. It's fine.
And also a baby.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's one thing that did that we didn't think. Oh, that's the same thing. No. I didn't think we were going to go to Paris.
No, you thought we would go to Paris and we have not.
And
you thought we would not have a baby.
And we did. Yeah. There you go. So backstory, we met in French class in high school. So it's like, we're obligated to go to Paris together.
Not only that, we just
want to
go.
Well, yeah, for sure. We want to. But I'm saying like we have to at least one time.
Yes.
Like, because we met in freaking French class.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought that by now we would have already done that. And we were supposed to go for my 30th birthday. But my 30th birthday was in 2020. And then we had a baby after that. So.
And now why aren't we going?
Because
for our 10-year anniversary?
We thought about going for our 10-year anniversary. But we don't want to go to Europe for 1 week. That's just not enough time for us to like go to on that kind of an international trip. We want to go like 2 weeks minimum. And I am not ready to leave Everly for more than 1 week yet. I'm just not.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
So we'll see you one day, Paris.
Yeah.
But not yet. I don't remember which one of these we've done and which one we haven't done yet. Okay. Oh, this is a very practical question. What's your favorite date idea when you don't want to plan too much?
Like our go-to date?
Yeah.
Depending on what time of year it is.
True.
If it's nice outside, it's going to be anything outside.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
pickleball, paddleboard.
Whatever. Like even just outside. Sitting out in the backyard. We, you know.
Yeah. Like if we don't have a sitter and it's like at home date, we'll just put our blow up pool in the backyard.
Wine and like cheese boards that I can throw together is a good go-to.
Mm-hmm.
We like, you know, we're close to where we live is close to like a part of town where there's a river, and on the river is a nice like sidewalk with like bars and mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff that you can do. We like to do that.
That wine and water, that's definitely like our go-to.
Right. I'm saying like we're close enough to places downtown that we'll just pop over there and hang out, and it's nice.
If we're like, oh, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. What do you want to do tonight? We're like, let's just go get wine and
like,
water.
Yeah. We have like go-to bars and go-to stuff like that.
Yeah. When we say bar, it's not a dive bar. That's not my vibe. It's like
big my vibe, not her vibe.
Yeah. Adam likes dive bars. I do not. So when I say bar, please don't have that image in your head. this is a good question. They're all good questions. But you know what I mean? Advice for future dads. And then she gets more specific with the question. So like this, what mental work did you have to do to prep yourself like for becoming a dad? That's a good question.
So I'm probably the worst person to ask this because I am not Mr. like conscious of the mental work that I'm doing all the time, if that makes any sense. it's kind of by necessity, not like any like I had a bunch of forethought in it, you know?
That's interesting because I feel like you're very introspective.
I'm very introspective, but it's not, I'm not thinking like,
you're not like, oh, I'm doing the mental work right
now.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking like, oh, I gotta change my mentals for this kid.
Yeah,
I was just like taking it as it came.
Mm-hmm.
But you do, well, at least I do, think about all the things that I dealt with my dad and like what you know, you just go down a rabbit hole. You can.
For sure.
At least I did. Mental work, though, again, I feel like I'm usually in a pretty good mental place.
I agree with that. Pretty mentally stable.
Right, yeah. So I don't, I know everybody needs to do mental work. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But there wasn't like a specific thing that I prepared for. I'll say it took me a while to get in. I wasn't happy.
Like dad mode.
Yeah. I wasn't stoked to be having a, you know, I was excited to have a kid, but I wasn't like overly, like I thought of all the negatives first.
Yeah. Adam and I didn't want kids for our whole relationship. And then when I turned almost 29, right before I turned 29, I was like, actually, I think I want to have a kid. I want to be a mom. And I had to have that conversation with him. And it was well received. I was crying. I was so scared to have that relationship or that conversation with you because our whole relationship, we had always been like, no kids, no kids, no kids. And I was like, oh my God, like this is a big thing to change. So I was with Carson just like bawling my eyes out. So scared to talk to you. We went to Bar Taco. I told him. He was like, I knew this was going to happen. Like, I'm not like shocked or anything. Like, if this is what you want to do, this is what we're going to do. And then we waited a couple years. We sat on it. And then we kind of like set a date and we were like, okay. And then it happened really quick. And Adam, he wasn't like a downer during my pregnancy, but I could definitely tell that he wasn't stoked.
No.
And I was going to say the pregnanter I got, the more
pregnanter.
The more pregnant I got, the harder it got for me to like be okay with it, I guess. Cause like my hormones were starting to get like crazier anyways. And then I was like, well, this is happening. So like, get on board. Like, I don't know what to tell you kind of a thing.
And I did as the pregnancy went on and like doing the nursery, you know, the more real it became, the more I was like, all right, I was able to get into the, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't work I was doing. I mean, it's an unavoidable thing. So it's either you either get in the mode or you don't, you know, it's the truth.
Yeah.
But I would say, I just expect to be, if you're not an emotional person, you will be more emotional. Factually.
Oh yeah, you're a big crybaby now.
Yeah, I mean, before it's we not had, that I wasn't before.
Well, before
like,
we had Everly, I could count on my fingers how many times I've seen you cry in the 20 years I've known you.
Yeah. So just prepare for that. I would prepare more for. I mean, you're always going to be thinking about
emotional expansion
stuff. Yeah, but I would say prepare more for your emotions to be kind of all like
just deeper.
Just stuff that at least I had never dealt with. Like, I would say that more than mentals.
That being said, how would you describe your experience of becoming a dad? Like, once she was born, that's a lot of questions. Like, what's your favorite part about being a dad? Like that kind of stuff. Like, so you can answer that. But like, what would you say was the evolution? So like, we didn't want kids. And then I told you like, hey,
I want kids.
And you were like, all right, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was pregnant and you were like, okay, like we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then as things became more real, you were like, okay, we're doing this. Like,
yeah.
What would you say? Like, okay, then she was born. Like, what was your, what were you feeling and
what
stuff
you,
like that?
What do you, okay.
Like, what? Like,
what was I feeling when she was
like,
born?
What was your emotional journey? Because people ask me this on Instagram all the time. Like, people, like, let's say you're talking to somebody right now who doesn't want kids, but they're like, but wait, I kind of am, like, sort of starting to have a change of heart. Like, mm-hmm. What was your emotional experience of the whole thing? Like, from start to finish?
Scared.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was just scared and
yeah.
Sad because
I was sad too.
Selfishly,
yeah.
I mean, I tell people all the time, like, I didn't want kids because I very much enjoyed doing whatever I wanted whenever I wanted.
For sure. That's real.
I mean, that's just the truth,
mm-hmm.
You know. So I was bummed that I knew that was going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it goes away. I mean, it changes for sure, but it goes away because you're being a good parent. Like, you can still have all the free time you want if you're not going to spend any time with your kids.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that I was scared.
Yeah. How did you feel after she was born?
So that's when, maybe the second I saw her, is like,
game over. He's about to cry right now.
Nope. Nothing mattered. It didn't. It just, nothing else did.
Yeah.
So, it was definitely worth, but also I would have been like, now, you know, I can't imagine not doing it, but
mm-hmm.
I think I would have been fine otherwise.
For
you know,
sure.
If we would have just never had a kid, I also,
because you don't know what you're
you
missing
don't know
out
what you,
on.
You don't
yeah.
know what you're missing.
Because that's the conversation we've had. Like,
yeah.
Now we're like, oh, like, we're sad for people who will never experience
right.
the joy that we're getting to experience as parents.
Yeah. And some people don't. Some people have kids and it's a terrible time.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, but for us, it's been really great. And
yeah.
I wouldn't not do it.
Yeah.
But also, like I'm saying, like, it would have been, I think if you would have asked me, you know, 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
hey, do you just never want to have kids? I would have been like, yeah, that's totally fine. I've
yeah.
been happy about that. Does that make sense?
For sure. For sure.
But emotionally, it went from scared to nervous
mm-hmm.
to like, scared again, because you think about, or at least I think about, like, are you gonna be healthy, is she gonna be healthy,
yeah,
is everybody, you know, all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
more the like
logistics,
yeah, the like, yeah, like what, how, you know, all those things,
yeah,
because that's the scary part,
mm-hmm.
And then now it's just thinking about how I have to, you know, protect her all the time and
yeah, keep her behind off social media for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like we could do a whole episode on that one day. Just like not wanting to be parents at all, becoming parents. People ask me about that all the time. Because
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are in that boat. And
it's,
I get,
normal now.
Yeah. I know. And I get a lot of messages, which it's really encouraging for me. And I share them with Adam often when I get them, about how people will say, like, seeing how you have like stepped into motherhood, like, it's not what I thought it had to be, kind of a thing. And that's one reason why I'm really glad that I waited until I was in my 30s to become a mom, because you, like, I feel confident in who I am as a person. Like, I feel like in your 20s, you're still trying to figure out who you are, like, what's important to you, how you want to show up, all that stuff. In my 30s, like, I'm already pretty established in that stuff. Like, I've gone to therapy, like, I've decluttered like the mental crap that's like in my way and whatnot, and I just feel like, I don't know, I realize that I get to decide how motherhood is going to be for me. I don't have to do it how I've always seen it done, and I think that's a big reason why I didn't want kids
mm-hmm.
in the past, is because of how I've seen motherhood done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a lot, so we're gonna end on a lighter note.
Okay.
So last question, this is from Claire. And Claire said, favorite cocktail to make that you'll also make me next time I'm there.
Oh, to make?
Yeah. Adam's a bartender, if you guys didn't know. He works at the King State Bar two nights a week.
One night a week.
Oh, maybe. We don't know.
No, no.
Is it officially one night a week?
Yeah.
Woo! Love that.
Wow, that's...
Your favorite cocktail to make?
So, that changes. I like making whatever. I think more one specific cocktail is what I enjoy is talking somebody through, like, helping somebody learn what they like.
Yeah, or you like the experience of...
Yeah, I like talking them through...
The art of it, I mean.
Well, not even art. Like, I don't care about all the fancy stuff. It's more just like, I like the process of somebody being like, hey, I usually drink this. Do you have something
similar? It's like that bar we went to in Attaboy or whatever. They don't have a menu.
Oh, right. Yeah, they just ask you what spirits you like and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was the craziest thing for somebody like me who I am not well-versed in, like, bar anything.
Yeah.
And so...
But I work at a place that's not... Like, we have a great bar, but we don't have every single thing. Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes in and orders a very specific cocktail, I have a fun time being like, okay, well, you know, I can't make that exact thing, but I can make something similar to it. And then hopefully they like it. And really the biggest thing is I like when I make a cocktail... When somebody's like, yeah, just go with whatever, and I make them a cocktail, and they're like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about what's in it and why they like it.
Yeah. What's your favorite cocktail to make right now? How about that?
I mean, the best cocktail I make is a margarita.
Yeah.
Easily.
Because
I've made
BOGO.
1,000,000,000
margaritas. Yeah. Adam worked one of the nights that he works at the bar is BOGO margarita night. So.
Yeah.
He'd be making a lot of margaritas.
I can do a good margarita, but I can everything. I like stirred drinks. I think my favorite cocktail for me to drink is probably like an Aperol Spritz.
I was going to say. That's my new favorite. Like weekend,
I like those a lot
because of him.
And at night, yeah, I like more boozy stuff. Yeah, you know, it just is depending. But I will happily make you anything you want. I've assembled quite a.
Holiday drinks that you made were
I did come up with some
so
super,
good yeah. like Christmassy themed drinks.
Anything tequila is by far my favorite spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mine's gin. He makes good gin drinks too because of me.
I like all kinds of stuff.
Claire, he will sit you down when you're here and you guys will do the Q&A.
I'm not afraid to go through like 5 or 6 drinks to get you what you
want. Yeah. Yeah. Not you drink 5 or 6. He'll dump them out if you don't.
Yeah.
Like
if you don't like it. Yeah. I'll just make another. Yeah. Or you can drink all 5. Up to you.
You just got to sleep on the couch, girl, if you do that. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for sending in your questions. We're going to wrap this up because Gigi, our babysitter, my mom, has to leave now. So thanks for coming on, babe.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being married to me for 10 years.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Your pleasure. Wow. Amazing. All right, y'all. So if you guys do want to hear an episode dedicated to mental health, specifically someone who is diagnosed with a mental health, is it disorder? Is it the right word?
You tell me.
Someone who's diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Yeah. It's
sure.
literally called that.
Yeah.
And someone who is not, and how we kind of like make that work, how he supports me, how I like make
sometimes
my needs
don't
known.
Support.
Yeah. Just like all that kind of stuff. Let me know. And we can do an episode dedicated to that, but I just didn't want to miss out on our yearly Q&A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're a good time.
Okay.
Okay. I love you guys so much.
Love you guys.
I hope you have
the best day ever.
Bye, y'all.